speaking with John Dubioso, who is president of 3D Industrial Maintenance, based in New York. He is a 35-year veteran of the sweeping industry and a well-known sweeping industry personality, and certainly an experienced man when it comes to talking about the subject of milling and safety. So, John, if you would talk to our listeners about the safety concerns that would be especially pertinent on a milling or repaving and paving job site, that would be great.
Well, I guess as an introduction, I guess this is all coming about because of a fatality and certain accidents across the country, and we've sure had a few here in the tri-state area. Thank God I have not been a part of one, but safety, you know, what's the cost of safety? And that's a big title. Problem with safety is that when we're dealing out in the main road with traffic, we're dealing with a bunch of workers and operators that are working under stress, they're working under pressure, they're working under time constraint to get the job done before we have to open up the roads. So sometimes people forget about safety. Our safety officers and safety policy makers are either home sleeping or they're in the office. The biggest problem I see is that we don't have a safety officer present on the job or somebody dedicated to just watching for safety points. In today's world, with traffic and confusion and pushing people again with the time constraint to get the job done, get the road open by 6 o'clock in the morning or before rush hour starts in the afternoon, everybody just seems to forget about safety. So my evidence is that any vehicle, whether it be a sweeper, a miller, a dump truck, when it's backing up or making an unsafe situation into traffic, there needs to be a presence of an individual that has visual contact with the back of the sweeper or truck or miller or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. And who is visible in the mirrors for the driver?
Right. You've got to be visible to the driver. I know we have cameras. I know we have backup alarms. I know we have all these devices that are supposed to do the job. But when you're on a construction job on 95 or 87 or any main highway, between the noise from the traffic, the noise from the miller, the noise from the backhoes and bobcats and everything else, there is sometimes that a person that might be behind a vehicle might be out of sight of the camera, out of sight of the mirror, and that's when we have these accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's the safety officer going to be? Of course, he's always going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he won't see it, but we have to make an effort of having someone on the job that his job is going to be strictly watching everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
This is a cost. It's a cost, but, you know, what's the cost of safety? You know, the safety officer, like I said before, as always, you know, they come out for the job meeting, and he goes back to the office. He should stay in the job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it has to be a college intern. Maybe it's got to be an intern-type person that's learning the business that can be taught, you know, that'd be his apprenticeship, to be on the job to watch this. You can't put this stress and pressure on the foremen and the operators because they're under the gun. Let's not forget one thing. It's all about profit.
Mm-hmm.
They're under the gun to make profit, get the job done, get the roads open. And everybody has a tendency to cheat. And everybody's working double shifts. Everybody's working long hours. And anybody that says it's not happening is not being honest.
Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? If the sweeper operator or the sweeping company supplies the person, then they have a higher cost, which means they probably won't get the job. It's difficult to push that. At what point does the sweeper operator on a job say this isn't a safe situation? It's the last thing that he wants to do, of course, is to stop sweeping. But
well, I mean, technology is out there now. I mean, we look at security, we look at microphones, we look at radio communications, we look at all the BS that's out there. We need to train our sweeper operators not to back up unless they can visually talk to or see somebody that's saying, okay, back up, there's nobody there.
Right.
Or HR. I mean, it may sound stupid, it may sound like Star Wars, it may sound like whatever. I think all your key operators maybe need to have an earpiece. or something of that nature. I mean, you know, we're all very smart individuals. We know how to run businesses. We know how to get things done. I think we need to stop 10 minutes and think about safety, you know. And maybe if it means an airpiece that someone has and there's a key person someplace on the site that has visual of everything that's going on, hey, can I back up? Yeah, I can see you. There's nobody behind you. Back up.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think it's a hard thing.
Even if it's a cell phone call.
Correct.
You have to make that call.
It's a little hard. You know, it's a little hard with cell phones. I mean, two-way radios. Everybody's using two-way radios. We use a lot of them on our jobs. But we don't have a radio connected to the ground crew. We use it in between sweepers. I think that safety officer, I think the state, the contract, when it goes out, needs to be a provision that the GC on the job supplies this officer. I mean, you can't have each contractor, the guy that's bringing the paving, the guy that's doing the milling, the guy that's doing the sweeping, the guy that's doing the grouting or whatever.
Right, they all need an overall person.
Officer. You know, there should be one general safety officer, should be a job meeting, and he's in control of safety. And he should be present on the job at all times.
All right.
And in today's world with lawsuits and the stress that people are going through, there are going to be accidents. We're pushing our people to get it done in a shorter time, spending less money, so everybody's cheating.
Yeah.
And I don't care if anybody says they're not, is lying.
They probably didn't get the job because they couldn't bid low enough.
Right. Or they're bidding too low and supposed to take 10 days to do the job, and they're going to try and do it in 8 or 9.
Right.
You know, so when you're doing things like that, the possibility of having an accident or not doing the job properly, now the safety officer could be the inspector that's on the job. I mean, a lot of inspectors on the job are just worried about how much blacktop is going down. I don't know who this person can be, but in today's world, with insurance liabilities and stuff like that, I think it's something that's going to be necessary. You're going to see it in the future. I mean, there are people that are pulling down traffic patterns sooner than they're supposed to, and they leave either the sweeper or a dump truck out there to clean up with no protection.
Right.
You know, I instruct all my guys, if they don't have protection, you just pull off the road. I don't want to hear it. You call me whatever day, time, night it is, that I will not allow anybody to work without protection.
Right. It makes perfect sense. Let's talk a minute about who you would send out. How do you know that your operator is sufficiently trained to be able to handle a high-stress, high-movement milling job?
Well, in our organization, of course, we're not going to take a new guy and put him into a dangerous situation. It's probably going to be, I mean, we've had some people come to work, and within a month, I can honestly say I would trust them. But it takes a few months and even a couple, you know, a year's worth of experience, as far as I'm concerned. The guy has to be able to think fast. He has to be considerate. You just can't pull out of a lane. You can't pull out of a pattern. He's got to look all around him to make sure he's not going to cause a problem. Especially if you're on a mill and pave job. If you're on a mill and pave job, you're the miller's in front of you. You're cleaning up behind the miller, and you got a paver right behind you. So in those kind of jobs, there's a lot of people. A lot of things are happening, and there's got to be a lot of concern there. So as far as I would never put a green guy out there. He'd have to have some experience. And usually, as I talk to my dispatchers and my operation people, I make sure either myself or one of my boys or one of my top managers, I've seen this guy operate. You know, and it's a good indication when he's doing sweeping for the municipality. He's in and out of traffic. He's out there by himself most of the time. And we kind of sneak out. We keep an eye on him for a half hour to see how he's, you know, controlling himself and how he's operating the machine and what he does to stay out of trouble. So we get a pretty good indication.
Do you have any kind of a basic checklist of do's and don'ts that would happen to a milling job that would be specific to that and not someplace else? Or
one of the checklists is that we don't back up unless he can visually see somebody. I try and push that as much as possible.
Okay.
I mean, that's one of the things.
Don't operate if you don't have protection.
Yeah, we have a big problem with them supplying trucks to dump into. And just tell them, just lift up the hopper and stay in the middle. That's all, until somebody asks you why you're there, and then try and explain to them very nicely that you need a truck. That's all, because, I mean, everybody's cheating. Nobody wants to have a supply enough trucks. Nobody wants to go by the rules. And, you know, I blame the state. I blame the state a lot because they sometimes put in the spec that you're supposed to have certain equipment on the job. and they're the first ones to break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to start with the state. You know the old story? You know, the value of a child starts at home? Well, here it is. It starts with the state. There's rules. There's specs. And you have to abide by the specs.
And then make sure that those specifications are being met on the job site, not just on a piece of paper someplace.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a requirement to have two sweepers or three sweepers because they got three millers working.
Mm-hmm.
Contractor will hire one sweeper and expects the one sweeper to go crazy to try and keep up with three millers. You can't do it.
So what is it you can do then? Let's say that you are the subcontractor handling the sweeping portion. The contract called for three sweepers there, saying you can only have one on the job or two on the job.
Okay. What do we do in that kind of a case? Well, you know, all us top management have been to a lot of seminars. And what I've been trying to do in my organization is to make my organization a more professional, certified type situation where we're not just dirt bags sweeping up dirts. The sweeping part of any part of one of these paving, milling jobs, if the sweeper's not there, the job stops. So what we need to do is educate our clients, the contractors, to what we are and what we're able to do. We're not a loader, we're a sweeper. So don't leave big piles because we're going to lose production. You have to have either a bobcat or a loader. I mean, a miller works just like a sweeper. If it's not adjusted properly and the board's not right, they're going to leave crap all over the place. So you have to educate. Sometimes these guys are trying to, you need to stop them and educate them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, listen, we can only do X amount of dollars. And you need to learn the bids. You need to know the bids. If there's three sweepers required on that job, and there's ways of finding out what's in the spec,
mm-hmm.
then you got to tell the contractor, I will be here, I'll do the best I can, but let's not get upset if we fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to think of safety. And most important, you know something, I got to think of my operator and the well-being of my machine. Because I'm not going to abuse my machine and make it break down. Now I have to lose money.
Right.
Now, everybody has to be educated to what we're trying to accomplish that night.
And your reputation, of course, as being able to handle the job.
Correct. I mean, we have this problem every day where people try and cheat. So we educate them. You know, I'm not an email person, but, you know, you have to email or you have to send a memo to the office and let them know what's going on. And you have to do it before the problems happen.
If mm-hmm.
you anticipate these problems are going to happen, I think you have to make them aware that we're trying to do too much with too less equipment.
So try to put it in writing, any of your concerns in writing, so that they're on file with the general contractor.
Yep. 6 months from now, when they try and dock you some money, nobody remembers what happens.
Right, or something safety-related happened and they try to put it onto your side of things. So, to sum up the topic as far as you're concerned, how would you do that?
Well, I would sum it up that we have to be a more aggressive manager. We have to educate our drivers, our laborers, and most important, our customers, of what we're trying to accomplish, and try and put into some kind of context how we can achieve something with good production and using safety as a problem so that we don't end up having lawsuits and losing time on the job. And I just think education and making people aware of what you're trying to accomplish is very important.
I agree. Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate you taking the time and offering this out for those of us in the industry that could use the help.
Okay, thank you very much.